Turn to Isaiah 56:7. We've started something here that we've taught on years ago, but I feel like I have some new revelation on it. I feel like I've learned some things about it. I feel like God's doing something different and showing me some things, and it's on the doctrine of prayer, the teaching about prayer. Well, you say, what could be said about prayer that hadn't been said? I don't know if I'm going to say something that hadn't been said. But I can almost guarantee that I'm going to say some things you haven't heard. Amen? I can almost guarantee there's going to be some things that are come out of this series of teaching on prayer. If you haven't gotten the early ones, they're on the internet. I think we're up to the last week now, maybe hasn't gotten up yet, but it will be. It's already been sent up. Just waiting for Jerry to put it on up on the site. But as we're teaching on it, so we've only had two lessons in prayer so far. The first one was called the House of Prayer. The House of Prayer. And you'll see in Isaiah 56:7, this is what it says. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. He'll do what?
Make them joyful.
Doesn't sound like prayer meetings I've been to, a lot of them. Have any of you ever noticed that one of the least attended meetings in a church is the prayer meeting? Has anybody noticed that besides me? You weren't here, that's why you didn't notice. That's one of the least attended meetings. You get the least excitement when you start talking about prayer meetings. There are some exceptions, because some people are learning some things about prayer. But I named this series because I felt like I asked the Lord. I said, well, what should we call it? It's prayer. He says, call it delightful prayer. Delightful. Delightful. Say delightful.
Delightful.
How does that make you feel? Delightful. What do you say?
Warm and fuzzy.
Warm and fuzzy. Gives you the warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Delights you. You don't say delightful like delightful, do you? You say delightful. It's delightful. Unless you're who?
Being sarcastic.
Oh, being sarcastic. Yeah, that's right. You might do it then. He says, I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. Joyful. Where is this house of prayer? Where? Well, it used to be in Jerusalem. That's where he's talking about, isn't it? He's talking about the house of prayer because Jesus went through the temple and cast out the money changers and tipped over their tables. And he quoted this verse, didn't he? He says, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, for all nations. Jesus said that. So he said that there's something going on in the temple of God, and it ought to be prayer. Ought to be prayer. What's prayer look like?
Yeshua, the night before he was betrayed, and he actually was pretty intensely crying.
Yes, he was.
And so that's one form.
That's right.
Crying out.
That's right. So prayer doesn't just have one face, does it?
No.
In fact, the Bible tells us to pray always with all prayer and supplication on the Holy Ghost. And if you read and just study the translations on that, you're going to find some of them that say, pray always with all kinds of prayer. Or all manner of prayer. Pray always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. Praying always. Say always.
Always.
What does prayer look like if you're doing it always? Well, it doesn't look like just the kind that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane then, does it? Because he wasn't doing that always either. And yet, there's a place for that kind of prayer, isn't there? There's a place for intercession. What is the... Jeff answered this a couple of weeks ago, but what's the highest form of prayer?
Praise.
Or worship. Right. To worship God. To worship Him. Remember, these teachings that we're doing aren't just to be something that we add to our repertoire of teachings we've heard. This teaching about prayer is to bring us into a place, just like the teaching about love, the foundational teachings, to cause us to grow. How many of you believe God's growing us up?
Amen.
He's maturing us. And if we're not maturing, it's because we're not giving of ourselves to God. We want Him to give Himself to us, but we sometimes miss that last part of giving ourselves to Him. Jonathan made a statement this morning about holiness, and he's absolutely right. There's a side of holiness that God makes us. He sets us apart unto Himself. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? But did you know there's also a part of holiness that I believe is spoken of when it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. There's a halakha. Halak in Hebrew means to walk. The halakha is the prescribed walk of Scripture. All the Jews know about halakha because the rabbis took it and messed it up really good. They've got it all down to where, as Jesus said, you've got it so that no man can do it, and you don't even lift your finger toward it. It's too impossible now. But there is a place and a walk of being separated unto God. And then once we're separated by His blood, then what do we need to do? Walk in it. Walking in the paths of righteousness. And that's why He turned around and said, once He made us holy, He says, now be holy. Or act holy. Walk in it. So as we talk about prayer, we're talking about one of those things that's going to cause us to grow and develop in fruitfulness and effectiveness. And that's the reason God wants us to grow up, so we can be fruitful. Bear much fruit. Amen? That's our desire. Both spiritually and naturally. Do you believe you're supposed to bear fruit both ways? Spiritually and naturally. We're supposed to be fruitful. Multiply. So when it comes to prayer meetings, what do you suppose is the problem? Why do you suppose that prayer meetings are poorly attended? Give me some of the reasons.
Boring.
Boy, I've been to some boring prayer meetings. In fact, I've helped to make some of them boring. What's another reason that people might not want to pray? Lacking the Spirit, or that's right. Just plain that they're not allowing the Spirit of God to move in them. What's another reason? Embarrassment.
Not knowing how to pray.
That's right. Don't know how to pray as we ought. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to know how to pray. Right? Right. Is it because there's something faulty with prayer? Or has it just been faulty in the way it's been taught and presented? See, I personally believe that one of the reasons people don't like prayer is because it hadn't been presented right. I believe if you could have prayed with Jesus, you'd have loved to pray. Now, that didn't say that maybe you'd have lasted as long as He did. Because I know some guys that went to sleep while He prayed. You remember them?
Yeah.
It wasn't that there wasn't a cause either. Because while He was in His most intense time of prayer, they were asleep. But Jesus gave us a little insight there. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's one of the reasons that we don't. Because we are fleshly, and the flesh is weak. When we walk in the flesh, we aren't going to desire prayer. Prayer isn't something we're going to want to do. It doesn't change the fact that God says, I'm going to bring my people to my holy mountain. That's Jerusalem. Mount Zion. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Joyful. Joyful. Look joyful. Everybody give me a praise offering. Now give me a smile offering. Oh, glory to God. Man, we'll just keep receiving offerings here today. Amen. I like those. You know, sometimes preachers have to take that scripture about not looking at their faces. Because, oh boy, I'll tell you, sometimes people, when they get intent, some of the faces you get are wild. Isn't that right, Jonathan? When you're singing too, do you ever notice some of the faces? Yeah. It's enough to rob you of your anointing, isn't it? But God wants His place, His house, to be called a house of prayer. And now, where is that temple of God today? Yeah, we know there's not one on Mount Zion anymore. I personally believe one will be built there, but there's not one there now. There's not one there now. And if one's built there, it won't ever take the place of this house of prayer. Did you know that? It won't. Uh-uh. Now, the place where God dwells when He comes back here during the millennium You know, that's going to be a little different thing, but it's still not going to take the place of here, is it? This temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that your body is a temple? And what is it supposed to be? A house of prayer. Now, I believe that, you know, a definition of prayer maybe is one of the... We get into so many things about what it is that we've made it hard. Prosuke. Oh, that's prayer. Prosuke. Tefillah. That's prayer. Right? Tefillah. That's prayer. But what does it mean? Well, if we look a little bit in Scripture, we get what God thought about it. In Exodus 25:22, He said that in the Holy of Holies, there's going to be an Ark of the Covenant. Right? Now, as I'm talking about this, don't forget about this place we're talking about, the temple. The Holy of Holies. Is there a place in you that is the inner place? Is there an inner man, an inner being, an inner place? And in that place, God says there is something. He says there is a mercy seat. He says there's an Ark of the Covenant, and on the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat, and there are the cherubim with their angels and their wings spread over the mercy seat. The mercy seat in Hebrew is the kapara. The kapara. The kapara. It is, in the Greek, propitiation. It's the place of propitiation or atonement. The mercy seat. And in Exodus 25, He says, after you have built this ark and set it up, He says there, Exodus 25:22, there I will meet with you and I will commune with you. Say commune.
Commune.
What's commune mean? That's another religious term, isn't it? It really isn't religious at all. But what does it mean to commune?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. In the Greek, koinonia. Interestingly, in the Hebrew, it's not nearly as religious sounding, it's davar. Davar means speak. There I'll speak with you. What kind of speaking? Intimate. Personal. Anything that you need to talk about, I'll talk with you. So what is, if we say, I will commune, what could we say about prayer then? Prayer is what? If He's going to commune with us. Huh? Worship? What else? Participation, partaking,
connection,
communion, common union, communing together, participating together, coming together. That's what the Scripture says it's supposed to be like. Did we have pictures of that? Have we had any pictures of what communing with God might look like? What does it look like? How many of you remember the story of the garden? Adam and Eve were in the garden. Now it goes so fast that we don't get to see them long like this. And we actually get, it talks about it after it's already no longer available to them. Because it said that after they had partaken of the fruit, that God said, don't eat of this fruit. Colleen, you can move over here closer if you want to. If you want to come on over in the middle here. Praise God. Says that God used to come and talk with them when? In the cool of the day. The cool of the day. And I thought, well, I wonder what the cool of the day had to do. And you know, the way I understand the Garden of Eden, it just had an ideal temperature. It was just ideal. So what's this cool of the day thing? Well, the word cool of the day is not cool. It's ruach. In the ruach of the day. Anybody know what ruach is? Ruach. Spirit. How did He talk with them? He talked with them by spirit. What was Adam? He was a spirit man before. But could He talk with him after the spirit had died? No. So he was hiding. Could no longer talk. But God used to talk. And this is what it looked like. He would come and talk with him. I have that scripture from Isaiah in my email. It says, you'll hear a voice behind you. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. walk in it. You know, we all think, well, God talked to people different in the Old Testament. But you know what? Other than the times when He appeared, He talked the same way. I believe He talked to Moses just like He talks to me. Just like He talks to me. And somebody says, yeah, but Moses heard Him so much better. And that comes down on us. Because He should have heard Him less than I do. Right? Because He wasn't equipped like I am. Or you are. Because you're equipped with the temple of God now on the inside where God communes with you there. How did He commune with Moses? He had to come upon him and speak to him. But now we have something special. And what's that look like? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like this. Wow, I spent 2 hours in prayer today, you know. I put in my time. Doesn't look like that. And here's the key. If you stop to think about it, as long as you're thinking, oh, I'm praying. I'm doing some prayer now. I must really be meritorious. I'm praying. Guess what? What are you doing? What's your focus on?
Yourself.
Me? I'm praying. You remember the Pharisee in the temple? By the way, don't get a bad image of Pharisees, because they probably were the word believers of their day. Really. They were word people. They're the ones that protected God's Torah. If it hadn't been for them, I don't know what would have happened. I guess God would have protected it Himself. But He put the Pharisees here to protect it. And they did. They protected it. But this Pharisee went into the temple to pray, and he said, Lord, I sure thank You I'm not like other men. I thank You that I'm not like this publican over here, because I pray twice a day. And I give alms of everything I own. And we counted it. And how many times was it that He said I in that little passage, Tammy? Do you remember? Five times. I. Five times it was all about I. Now the publican, on the other hand, he said, Lord, be merciful to me. Who's he praying to? God. Pharisee's praying with himself. In fact, the Bible says he said thus within himself. And there are people that's what prayer is about. And so what we do, I ought to keep one around here just for... No, I don't want to keep one around here. A bunch of beads. We just count the beads and say a prayer for each bead. A rosary. Now, people can do that. People could do that. Yeah. People could do that with a tzitzit, couldn't they? That's a nice one, by the way. Beautiful. You could actually, and it's good because, see, each one of those is two knots. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. See? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 what? 10 words. 10 words. You know the 10 words? How many of you know the 10 words?
10 commandments.
Yeah. What are they? Okay. Let's do something today. Let me see if I can teach you something today. Number one, and this is not the way English people teach it. How do English people teach it? English people teach that the first one is you shall have no other gods before you. But what does number one word that God said? See, they really never call 10 commandments. They're called the 10 words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Number one. Number two. And you shall have no other gods before you. Amen? You shall have no other gods before you. And you shouldn't make any graven images, right? Three. What's number three? Let me teach it to you. Three. Don't say, oh my God. That's a way to remember it, see? First one's one God. Second one, not two gods. Third one, don't say, oh my. Number four. Anybody know what four is? Let me hand you back here. Talit. What's that?
Don't
Four. Do four like this. Four is this way. Two challah, two candles. Two challah, two candles. Now, if you've not been honoring the Sabbath day in that way, where you do the Jewish ritual of lighting candles and having challah, then you don't know that it means remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Right? Number five. Number five. Or honor your mother and father, or all five, right? You know, I can't remember the mnemonic for six, but I know what it is because Caleb already said it. What is the mnemonic for six? That's right. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not do murder. What is it? I can't remember that. There's a mnemonic for it. It's very... What is it? That's what it is. Thou shalt not use your six shooter to kill people. Thou shalt not kill. It's a six shooter. Number seven. Seven rhymes with heaven, right? And a good marriage is heaven on earth, or a bad marriage, which came from the... How many of you remember the old movie, 7 Year Itch? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight. Well, eight looks like this, and you can turn it sideways, and what does that look like? Put your hands in there. See? Put your hands in there, and you got, thou shalt not steal, or you get handcuffs.
Oh, that's good.
Number nine. Nine looks the same as another number if you turn it upside down, so it can deceive. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And number 10. Gimme, 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 gimme. Thou shalt not covet. So there's 10 of them. Now, why did I go through all of that? Well, you know, that's the way some people get into everything, is just about what I remember, and nothing comes up out of here. Now, it's good that we have some way to remember things like that, isn't it? It's good to do that, but we don't want to limit ourselves. Here's another way we do it, you know? I don't have something that really works good, but, you know, my prayer time. Well, let's see, I got to pray about this, and then I got to pray about this, and then I got to pray about this. Is that the same as a rosary? Where you pretty soon you just got your little list that you pray? What is it? It can be. Right. The Jews pray what they call the Amidah. You know what the Amidah is? What is it? It's a book. They take a book, Shemone Esrei, they take a prayer book and they pray it. Like that. Don't they? That's called davening. We talked about this the other day. Has anybody got any idea where davening came from? Do you think Jesus did this when he prayed? What do you think?
I think somebody got so filled with the Spirit they just did that, and everybody else looked and thought that was the Holy thing to do.
I believe that's where chanting came from too. I believe that's right. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that somebody got to moving. In fact, it may have been David. David was saying, "I will sing unto the Lord." And somebody said, "Well, if the king does it, we better do it too." And somebody like me, with maybe not a great singing voice, was singing to the Lord one day, and he was singing, "Yivarech Adonai v'yishmerecha." And somebody said, "Well, that's the way you got to do it from now on. It's got to be that tune, and we got to put the, you know, right." I believe it was singing in the beginning. And, you know, while I'm not against those other things, I mean, somebody wants to dab it, I guess it's all right, but I'd have to ask them, why would you do it if we're trying to be biblical? But is it all right to move? I like to move when I pray.
David danced.
And see, I think dancing and those are probably things that became very religious. Religion is, we always want to put things to a ritual, don't we? Isn't that right? Well, are you getting a kick out of that? Oh, you're listening to Colleen over there instead of me. No wonder. So we've got all of these little things that we've been watching, but really, what is prayer? Prayer's communion with God. Communion with God and talking with God like Adam did. Now, Adam lost it, we said, but who got it back? Well, we say Yeshua did, but you know somebody got it back before? Somebody got it back before Yeshua came. Well, Moses too. But even before Moses. Enoch. Hanach. You remember Enoch? It says, and Enoch did what? Walked with God. Do you suppose he talked with God? Maybe that's where that song. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. He walked and talked. And he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know, I've got questions about that. I don't quite understand all of that. But I know he took him. I know he took him. What happened? He just walked with God so close and in such fellowship and communion with God that one day God says, I'm not going to leave you today. I'm taking you home with me. Amen? I'm just taking you home. And we'll have to ask all about how that all happened and transpired when we get there. There's questions I have about it. Theological questions that I don't understand. How many of you think there might be a couple things you don't understand yet? Couple, yeah. So we found out that prayer is communion with God, and prayer is to be a joy-filled time. Even the times of intercession, even the times when things get heavy, why would it be joy-filled? Because you know you're coming to the one who has the answer. The one who provides solutions. When I come to give myself to the Lord. What do we call that kind of a prayer? A commitment prayer. And by the way, there is a time to pray if it be your will. Right? But there also are times when it is totally and absolutely wrong to preach it, to pray if it be your will. When is it all right to pray if it be your will? When you don't know the will of God, or when you recognize that something requires great commitment, giving of yourself. That's a prayer of commitment. But if the Bible talks about also a prayer of faith, how does it sound? Does it sound like if it be your will? Because where does faith begin? When the Word of God is known. You can't have faith until you know what the Word says. But if you know that the Word says, He sent His Word to heal them. By His stripes they were healed, and He took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. What do you know about the will of God? I will that you prosper and be in health. See, it's wrong for you to pray, Lord, heal me if it be your will. That's wrong. You don't have a bit of scripture where the Bible says, I'm not willing that you be healed. You never see a person that came to Jesus and asked for healing that he went away without it, do you? He healed them all. All who came to him. So that's one of the different kinds of prayer. But we come with joy. With joy. Now, sometimes the joy comes when? After the prayer. But it's joy-filled. When you come to intercede for someone and it's heavy and hard and difficult, did you know you can always come to the place where joy is part of that prayer? Do you believe that? What if you lost someone? You know, we're all going to do that someday, right? Everybody's going to lose someone, right? Someone you love. You've done it. You suppose God just wanted you to mourn from then on? No. You know, one of the things I always pray for people that lose someone is, Lord, you fill in that place of loneliness and that emptiness that they feel with yourself. Be very close. What does that bring? Joy. Joy. It brings joy in the place of it. So I'm just saying some things that are kind of the starts, because we're really still in the beginnings of this. Joy-filled. Psalm 104:34, he says, my meditation, that word for meditation is siach, which can also be prayer or talk. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Say sweet.
Sweet.
See, there again, you just got to say it with a certain tone, don't you? Sweet. It's sweet. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And again in the 56th chapter of Isaiah in the 7th verse, he says, make them joyful in the house of prayer. Now, Yeshua taught us some things, didn't he? In the 16th chapter of John, Yeshua said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, remember that? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. 24th verse, he says, ask now. He says, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. But ask now and you will receive that your what?
Joy.
That your joy may be full. So there is a prayer of petition, asking God for things, that your joy be full. But who are we to pray to? Say, oh Jesus, I pray to you. Do you? Not technically. Do I think it happens and probably the Lord overlooks it some? Yeah. But, you know, if you want to be biblical again, why go different? Abba. Say Abba.
Abba.
Can all of you pronounce Hebrew? Abba.
Abba.
So, boy, you're good. Man, I tell you, you guys have almost perfect inflection. That is, if you trust that I know what I'm talking about. Abba. What does Abba mean?
Father.
Father. It actually means daddy. All of his father. Abba means daddy, papa, doesn't it? It's actually a very, very intimate way to talk to your father. Abba. 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 Shabashamayim. Did you know the Hebrews prayed like that for years and years and years? They've done that. Abba. Avinu. Avinu means our father. Avinu. Bahashamayim. What's that mean? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. It says, ask Him. How? Bashem Yeshua. In the name, Bashem means in the name of Jesus. Pray to the Father in my name. So technically, legally, by Scripture, how many of you believe that Scripture is legal? It's a law. Absolutely. Is it all right to talk to Jesus? I think so. But when you're asking the Father for something, you ask the Father. You don't ask Jesus. He said, ask the Father. There's something that He knows that maybe we don't understand. We say, couldn't I just ask Him? Probably, but He said, don't do it that way. He said, ask the Father in my name. And He said, when you pray, in Mark 11, verse 24, what did He say? He said, when you pray, believe.
Oh, and you shall receive.
Believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Believe that you receive it. What do we call that kind of praying? James 5 talks about it. What's James 5 say? James 5 says the prayer of what? Faith shall save the sick. Prayer of faith. Is all prayer faith? No. Should it be? Yes. Can you pray a prayer that's not a prayer of faith? Yeah. I heard a fellow say one time that the Lord really chastened him and told him, don't just start praying. Don't just open your mouth and start blabbing. Search your heart. Search the Word. Make sure the things you're asking for and the things you're saying are things that are scriptural. Then you can pray a prayer of faith, because faith begins where the will of God is known. Yeah, but I'm just going to pray. You know, that's where people start praying some funny things. Not funny. Ridiculous. Presumptuous. Bad things. I know some of you that, you know, if you'd gotten everything you'd prayed for, you'd be in a lot of trouble. In fact, if you'd gotten everything done to other people that you prayed for, you'd be in trouble. No, there's prayers that aren't prayer of faith. But God says, pray a prayer of faith. All prayer should be according to the Word. All prayer should be according. But I just like to talk to God and tell Him how I feel. I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. I'm going to tell Him all about my troubles. Well, you're dumb. Because the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Why are you going to tell Him about your troubles? Really, think about it. I know that's an old spiritual song, so-called spiritual. But why do you want to tell Jesus about trouble? Does the Bible teach telling Jesus about our trouble? It says, pray those things. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking, sometimes we need to bring our burdens before Him.
We bring our burdens before Him, but then what do? We say those things which will alleviate. We speak His Word. The thing that's going to get rid of every problem in your life or change your circumstance or your situation is not a re-speaking those things that are bad. It's calling those things which be not as though they were. Isn't it right? That's a prayer of faith. How do I get rid of my burdens? I lay them down. Just lay them down. How does the Bible say do it? Cast down imaginations. Cast down imaginations. Do I have to rehearse them? No, I cast them down. And every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Isn't a problem something that's exalting itself above the knowledge of God? Isn't that your problems? Isn't that your burdens? Those things which exalt themselves? And they grow big, don't they? The Bible says, magnify the Lord. What do? We magnify our difficulties, our problems. No wonder we don't like to pray. No wonder we get all downtrodden when we pray. No wonder people don't like to come together to pray. We have a religious, ritualistic meeting. We think that we have to say God with three syllables. Oh, God! You don't have to pray like that. You can just say, Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you about what your word says that's available for me. I just want to bring up those things. And then, you know, I remembered something as we were talking about this. And years ago, a fellow by the name of Larry Lee put out a teaching called Could You Not Tarry With Me 1 Hour? Did any of you ever read that or hear it? It was good. It was excellent. And I learned some things in it, but you know what I did? I made a rosary out of it. I got it into rosary form where it became a burden to me. And I heard another fellow say, I never said this to the Lord, but this is what he said. He said, I prayed every morning for I don't know how many years that I prayed. He said, I got up and I prayed every morning for so many years. And he said, one morning, he said, I got up and he said, I said, Lord, I'm dreading this time. And he said, I hadn't any more spoken those words till the Father spoke back to me and said, Son, I'm dreading it too. And that's just the way I began to feel, because it began to be just another ritual that I did. Another ritualistic thing. And that prayer was based upon what I call the anointed pattern for prayer. I believe there's an anointed pattern for prayer. Do you believe that? And what we don't realize is that everything comes into this prayer pattern. Say pattern. A pattern. It's a pattern, but it's not a prayer. People call it the Lord's Prayer. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. One place it's found anyhow. Matthew 6, starting with verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is Jesus speaking. After this manner. If I tell you to do something after this manner, what does that mean?
Fashion.
Fashion? It's kind of, you know, it could mean different things, but I think if we really study it, we'll figure out what Jesus is saying. Let's just put it this way. People, if you went into a lot of churches this morning, you would hear people reciting this prayer, wouldn't you? Hear people singing this prayer. What is called a prayer. I don't believe it's a prayer. I believe it's a pattern, a list of topics. Yeshua was a rabbi. How do rabbis teach? Well, there's a couple things about rabbinic teaching that we need to understand. He did teach them as a rabbi, but he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes, right? He taught them, but he taught them with topics. He taught them topically. He gave them an outline of prayer. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Say, Our Father. Well, we've already read that he said that we're supposed to come to the Father in his name, right? So he said, pray our Father which is in heaven. And that, I believe, which is in heaven, just that limits it to not just any Father, but our Father, right? The true Father, Father God. And he says, when you say that, then begin to think about His majesty. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. As I told you before, Avinu, Bashamayim, our Father in heaven, that was a Hebrew prayer. That was a Hebrew prayer. Hallowed be Your name is a part of the Kiddush, isn't it? You know the Kiddush? Nathaniel, have you ever really studied it?
A little bit.
Yitgadal v'yitkadesh. What does that mean? That means glory and majesty, or glory and magnified, or holy. Aaron, go ahead and put that song on that I was telling you, number 9. I just let you listen to a little bit of this, and you'll get the idea of it. This is Jonathan Zittel.
Magnify and sanctify His name. For by His word the universe was framed. When no star as yet was born, nor was any creature formed, He reigned alone in majesty, King of all eternity. Magnify and sanctify His name. Yitgadal, Yitgadash, Shemei Rabbah.
That is the things that Jews recite called the Kaddish. Magnify and sanctify His name. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. Kaddish. Kadosh is the word in Hebrew. Gadol means great. Great. And so here's what He's saying. He's saying you pray this prayer that you've been praying. This is a part of it. What you've been saying. What you've been saying. But when you do it, then say, and this is so brief, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as it is in heaven. And I believe right at this point in time, He's starting with things which be not. And we read it always as just a prayer, but how about making it a confession? Would you do that with me today? Make it a confession? A confession of our faith? So He says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done as it is in heaven. Let's see the next verse. How about we just put the word You on the front of that? Would that be adding to Scripture? If I put the word You on the front of that, would that add to Scripture? How many of you know when there's a statement like that, that the implied subject of that sentence is You? Now, instead of putting that in as a request, put it in as your confession. And say it with me. You give us this day our daily bread. Is that a fact? Or is it something you're asking Him to do? Well, maybe both. But the fact is, you're making a confession of faith. You give me this day my daily bread. It's mine. Isn't that right? You see, you're making a confession. We've been learning that this is so important to say what God says as a fact. How many of you believe this is the will of God? That you have your daily bread. So let's look at the next verse. And You forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, does He have to do it? Well, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, right? To forgive all of your sins and cleanse you. So we know that's a fact, but how about if we begin to say that as a statement of faith? And You forgive my sins as I forgive those that I have sinned against me. You're talking to yourself about doing what God says that you're to do, right? and what He's already done for you. Look at the next one. This always bothered me. And lead us not into temptation. Does that bother you? Always bothered me to read that. And read that as a request. Why does that bother me to read that as a request? Don't lead me into temptation, Lord. Well, it's against other teaching of Scripture, isn't it? I say it's against other teaching of Scripture. Does God lead us into temptation? Does He tempt? Can He be tempted? But what happens if I say, and you lead me not into temptation? That's a statement of my faith and understanding of who He is, that He doesn't lead into temptation. He delivers from evil. Amen? Now, what we're going to do with this prayer is I'm going to start out and give you Hallowed be Thy name, and we're going to talk about it in the weeks to come. Hallowed be Thy name. The holy names of God. It ends up again in praising and worshiping God, doesn't it? That same thing that's in the Kaddish. Your kingdom and your power and your glory forevermore. It's your kingdom. Your kingdom. Now, I want to tell you what I learned about this prayer as I was going through it was that each one of these, they called them demarcations when Larry Lee taught it. You remember that? The Larry Lee called them the demarcations of prayer. Or the Catholics have a place in their churches, they call them what? The seven stations of prayer. I believe they took it from this kind of thing. Is it right? Well, yes. What does the Scripture tell us to do? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What does it say after that? And all that is within me. Then it makes a repetition of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and... That's the first time. The second time it changes that last part. And forget, Psalm 103, and forget what? Don't forget His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits. And so I believe as we begin to speak this, not just as a prayer, but each demarcation taking us to a different level. Your name is holy. What is His name? It's Yahweh. Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? What's Yahweh mean, Jonathan?
Ever-present one?
Actually, we'll look at it deeper, but it even goes far beyond because He says the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. He said, I am Yahweh. I am a covenant-keeping, grace-giving, merciful, loving God. That name, Yahweh, encompasses all of that. And so we say Yahweh, and then we begin to think about Yahweh and who the Scripture reveals Him as being. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Tzidkenu. What is that?
Righteousness.
He says, I'm Yahweh Mekadesh. What's that? Mekadesh. God who, we talked about it this morning, sanctifies. Jonathan talked about it. And that's nothing of ourselves. He does that. He separates us. Makes us holy unto Himself. But I want to tell you how that began to develop in my life until I used that as my confessions during the day. Because I confess about Him what the Word of God says about His name. He is Yahweh Shama. Shama means what? The Lord is there. He's ever present. Amen? He is Yahweh Shalom. He is the God of what? Shalom. God of peace. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Shalem means whole. That's the root word. Shalom means everything back in wholeness. That's what you mean when you say shalom to someone. Be whole. I believe that's what Yeshua said to the woman. Be whole of your infirmity. Shalom. He's Yahweh Rapha. What's Rapha mean? Who? The healer. He's our healer. God who heals. Can you imagine how, if you begin to think about the scriptures that you know that go along with each of the things we're saying about those names, how your confession develops right out of your heart instead of off of paper? You say, but Pastor, you know more scriptures than I do. Well, don't let that stand. Amen? Don't ever say, but Pastor, you know more scripture than I do. Say, Pastor, you know a lot of scripture, but you hang on because I'm going to know a lot of scripture too. I'm going to know it because I'm going to pray it. I'm going to talk it. I told people a long time ago, I seldom memorize a scripture, sit down and say, I'm going to memorize it. I just say it over and over and over until it becomes mine. Amen? I'm writing it on my heart with the pen of a ready writer. It's becoming mine. He's Yahweh Yireh. Remember Abraham said at the Akedah? We just read that this week in this week's parasha, how Abraham offered Isaac on the mountain. God said, I want you to offer him. We talked about the fact that God never said, I want you to kill him. He just said, I want you to offer him. I just want you to bring you up an offering. Abraham only knew about killing sacrifices. He didn't know about living sacrifices yet. God taught him about living sacrifices, and he taught him about substitutionary atonement that day on the mountain, didn't he? When he had the ram that he had sent there. And Abraham said, wow, God saw all of this in advance. I'm going to call this place Yahweh Yireh. God sees. God sees to it. God provide. When you say provide, what do you mean? What are you saying? Did you ever think of that? God is our provider. What does that mean? Well, believe it or not, it means that God pre-sees. He sees in advance. It comes from the Latin word providar. Pro means before, and vidar means to see. So when Abraham said, you're Yahweh Yireh, and he said, God sees, he's saying the same thing. He's our provision, but it's because he sees in advance. He sees in advance. Do you suppose God sees anything about what you're going to need tomorrow, Jane? You think he knows what you're going to need tomorrow? How about next week? How about until you die? How about until the rapture? Yeah, he knows exactly what you need. There's nothing hidden from him. What's the problem? None, really. Because he sees in advance. All we got to do is believe that that's the case. Speak that as ours. Say it as ours. He's Yahweh Nisi. Say Nisi. What's Nisi mean? What? The banner. He's our banner. He's our refuge. The Lord is my refuge and my help. A very present help in time of need. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my Father, my strength indeed. There's a little song goes with it, you know. But that's all right. In fact, that's what you're going to find yourself doing as you begin to pray like I'm talking about. You're going to just begin to express yourself, and you may not go through the whole Lord's Prayer, because it's going to take a while to just be with your Father. Just spend time with Him. Just have a good time with Him. Instead of turning the radio on, turn the Word of God on through your mouth. You say, I don't know very much. Say what you know. Say what you know. And begin to speak about those things. You know, some of them you're going to come up with and they're not going to be quite right the first time you say them, but it's going to stir you to go home and look it up. Find out how it's really stated. And you begin to say it. And then pretty soon you'll be singing part of it. I know that where Jonathan prays, they sing a lot, don't they? There's a lot of music goes along in prayer time, isn't there? A lot of musical prayer. In fact, Jonathan prays with music a lot. He praises God with music, and a lot of it's not stuff that's been written down. It's stuff that comes right up out of his heart. Well, that's a lot more joyful than these kinds of things where we just do the same thing every day, isn't it? We start getting delighted with being together with our Father. And you know, that's the only way, if you think about it, things can ever be pray without ceasing. How could you ever pray without ceasing in a religious way? In a ritualistic way? Not only you couldn't, but you wouldn't want to, would you? It's just the thought of it is just, you know, like Jane said, it's boring. No, we're going to get away from boring prayer. We're going to begin to speak. Our lives are going to begin to speak. We're going to be talking to God. But you know, even more important than talking is we're going to be spending a lot of time just listening to Him. Because prayer really has to start, if it's communion, it has to start with awareness, doesn't it? I'm aware that He's with me and in me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's Yahweh Shema. He's there. Wherever I am, He's there. Wherever I go, He goes. I don't go someplace and say, I'm going to a place of prayer. I may go to an appointment with somebody else to pray. We may have our minion. But when I go, I'm taking God in me, aren't I? I'm not going to where He is. He's going with me. So I'm aware of Him. Say awareness.
Awareness.
Do you know the greatest challenge is to keep a consciousness of God on the inside? Isn't it? When can you do that? It's a choice, isn't it? You can choose to do it at all times. He never leaves me. He abides with me forever, even until the end of the age. That's what the Scripture says. So you see, we're talking about those things. Finally, it's Yahweh Rohi. Rohi. What does Rohi mean, Jonathan? This Jonathan. He should know because he used to go to a church that was Roeh. Huh? Roeh. Roeh Israel. Roeh. Roeh is shepherd. Rohi is my shepherd. My shepherd. He is my shepherd. And He is Yahweh Rohi, the shepherd of Israel, but He's my shepherd. And you know, you can think of a really good psalm for that, can't you? The Lord is my shepherd. You could almost come up with one on that one, couldn't you? The Lord is my shepherd. But we begin to speak about it. But did you know the Bible says in John that He's the good shepherd of the sheep? He lays down His life for the sheep. He said that His sheep will never perish and no man can pluck them out of His hands. Well, see, those are all things I'm saying about Him when I begin to think about Him being my shepherd. You're my shepherd. I hear your voice. The voice of another I will not hear. I'm your sheep. You're my shepherd. Your sheep hear your voice. And I hear your voice. And you know me. I say that to the Father. You know me. Because that's what He said. And I know them. You know me and I follow you. You see how everything becomes either first or our as we pray? So we pray not just for ourselves, but you know, when we begin to think about the Word of God, if it doesn't become real to you, you can't make it real to anybody else, can you? You see what I'm saying? Can you see how prayer could be delightful instead of boring? Can you see how it could be continual once we get to a place where we keep moving other things out so we can be aware of Him? Can I do other things? Can I wash the dishes? Yeah. Could I work on my car? Most of the time when I'm working on my car, I'm saying, Lord, help! You know? But is it possible just to have fellowship?
Yes.
Yes. And see, this is what I want you to develop in and grow in. Is there anybody that doesn't need to grow in this? Has anybody arrived? No. But you see, we want to develop in this. And I feel like there's some... I know there's revelation in the Word of God, and I believe the Lord is giving me revelation about prayer. It's to be a time of delight. We don't have to say, I've got to go pray. I haven't prayed today. Have you ever done that? I haven't prayed today. I've got to go pray. I've got to get an hour in before I go to bed. Oh, man. Is that religious or what? Let's cast down those imaginations. Let's get rid of those thoughts. Let's stand together. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You say, are you done, Pastor? Well, I will be. Praise God. Praise God. Lift your hands up and just delight in being in the presence of the Lord. Oh, just be delighted to be with Him. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, I ask You to make us all aware. God inside conscious. Holy Spirit, reveal Yourself in us, Lord. We know we don't have to call for You. You're always with us. You're always in us. We're born again. We're a new creation. That's what makes us a new creation, is that God dwells in us. He lives in us. And Father, we delight at having you in us. You're with us all the time. We don't have to call out to a God that's afar off because you're right here. We just love you and honor you. Oh, we bless you and praise you. We thank you that you are who the Word of God says you are. There's none beside you. You are the all-sufficient God, the more than enough. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You showed yourself mighty in their behalf, and you'll be mighty in my life. You blessed Abraham with the blessing that makes rich. And Father, I thank you today that because Jesus hung on the tree, He took the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on me and on this congregation through faith. And that blessing is the blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. We thank you for it. We just love you. Oh, we love you so much. I love you, Father. That's right. Just sing it out to Him. Sing to Him and worship Him. Don't think you have to just do it one way. Forever and ever, you are God. Oh, yes, you see, I desire to dwell. I desire to dwell where my people will sing to me, where my people will call upon me, where my people will listen to me and hear my voice. I desire to dwell between the wings of the cherubim. I desire to be there in your life, in the place of fellowship, in the place of communion, in the place of conversation. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Great God, more than enough, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, O God, in this temple. We worship you in spirit and truth. We worship you. We worship you. We honor you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, just flip a switch of understanding in this area. Send revelation, we pray, in every person's heart. Lord, that not one person that's here today will go out of this place without an awareness of what's available. That not one person in this place today will cast this aside and forget it before they go very far. But Lord, that each one of us will put it to work in our lives. Practice it in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up before God today. Receive the blessing of the Lord upon you. God said to Aaron, when you speak this blessing, I'll put my name on my people. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His counsel upon you, the light of His countenance upon you, and give you Shalom.